RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
Of Tee to Green, it's Major Week, it's PGA Championship Week, and that means double the fun here on Tee to Green on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. We are live at the Western New York PGA Cabin here at the Fox Valley Club. We want to thank the Executive Director of the Western New York PGA, Steve Barkowski, for joining us for the entire first hour. If you missed it, we'll have it up on our on-demand audio section just a little bit later this morning at WGR550.com. It's already up there. Awesome. Derek Kramer back in our studio. Derek,
MVP.
Way phenomenal, Derek. It's already up. Wow, we're just done with that hour like 3 minutes ago.
It's a professional operation, Brian.
Absolutely. Yes. That's true. Derek, thank you so much. Derek Kramer back in our studios there, getting that up on your on-demand audio at WGR550.com. And I have been sending out some tweets this morning, some pictures and some looks here from the Fox Valley Club. Kevin, you play here quite often as a member. What's your favorite thing about playing here?
You know what? I've learned over the 2 years and how to play the golf course, and the greens are tough. It's what I love about it, actually. I love the greens because it really makes you think on the putts and your lines and making sure you hit your lines along with the speed. You know, the greens aren't flat. I just love the fact the undulation on it and knowing the spots that you need to hit playing this golf course. And I play it more aggressively than I used to. So it's like, oh, you really got to be concerned. You know what? I hit driver more now this year than I did last year the first time here because I figured out, all right, I can
where
play.
You can
what the line is to play on the driver. And so, especially the front nine. Like seven's a hole where you're like, oh, it's a little iron off the tee. I'm like, no, I hit driver, and I hit it towards the left side of the hole. They're like, wow, well, I usually hit a little cut, so it'll cut, and it'll put me about 50 yards, you know, if I catch it well. If it goes straight, it goes into the fifth fairway, and it's a lob wedge over the trees.
That's it, and nowhere to miss. It's a big part of playing golf well, actually. You know, that's what good players will have, a miss to just one side of the golf course, typically. You don't see good players, when they're playing well, obviously, missing it both ways. So when you get a player or you're coaching up a player, you do want to build in a shot shape for them. So, you know, a fader's only going to miss it one way, or a draw of the ball's only going to miss it one way. And knowing that if there's trouble on the left, that you've got a move that'll make it so that ball won't go left, that's a big comfort when you're a good player.
I do want to mention, because there was a charity event here, was it for the dinner, and the players, and he played for you at Niagara. What
Daniel Weimer.
Dan Weimer, right? Yep. So
nice, fine young man.
He's claiming to hit it over the trees on 5, and we were doubting, right? Yeah. So actually, Dan, one of our members, went over, and it took him a couple attempts, but we now believe you because it he's able to get it and catch the hill just right, that's what he had to have done. And he's
a top notch D1 golfer. He's a very fun player. Remember you asked me, I didn't doubt it for
such
a second.
It was such a great shot. He'd have to catch it just right, and apparently he did. So, look at it publicly. I am telling him publicly, we now believe you. Mm-hmm. So,
cool. Yeah, Danny,
we had our longest hitter in our group go out and try it several times, and the reason why it was, we were like, come on, because the elevation to get the ball up and hit it that distance so quickly. I mean, you have to elevate that quickly, and there's a small gap, a very small window to get it through, and he had to have gone through that window. But like I said, it took our guy 3 attempts. Our guy's not a Division I player, so good on you, kid.
Yeah, I haven't watched him for 4 years. Hit a lot of really, really good shots. He's a very, very good player, and I was happy to have him for a long time. Little note about him: he was one of the top BMX bike riders around in the country for a while too. Yeah, he's just a good athlete. One of those kids,
like Ricky
Fowler. Hey, he's just good at everything he does.
Yeah, Ricky Fowler was a BMX guy, right?
Yeah. He didn't have that hair and that funny hat, though.
That's right. No, it probably wouldn't look good on Dan.
No,
I'm just saying that. But if he hits drives like that, that looks good on him. I wanted to mention that.
Tee to Green here, presented by the Western New York PGA. We're at the Western New York PGA cabin. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, and our home clubs where we are today. Fox Valley, Tantera, and Briarwood. We'll get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week coming up here in just a few moments. Also, Tim Freeze, PGA Pro at Transit Valley, down at Quail Hollow, just confirming that he will be joining us at about 8:30. So we're going to have a live report from Quail Hollow. We'll also get our Champions Tour report brought to you by Absolute Care as well. This segment we'll look at with the Champions Tour this week off due to the PGA Championship. There's some Champions Tour players in the event, so we'll update you on that.
JD. Also,
JD, the former PGA champion, so we'll update you on those here along the way. But one of our presenting sponsors, Custom Turf, I know you're getting measured up to get it this week. I know you're excited about that.
Yeah, right? I'm building a little teaching studio in my basement, so I'm going to have a hitting net and some video equipment and a putting green and a bunch of stuff for stretching and fitness. And don't laugh. And
I'm not laughing at all. No,
but I'm excited about. He came in and he had such great ideas. He's going to elevate it to get the cups in the hole and how he could put a collar and he's going to send me some plans this week, and I'm super excited because that'll be really, really cool.
I know too from being at the park club, mm-hmm. Well, coming over to hit with you once in a while, that they did some really nice work on the range
line.
Itself.
The T-line,
yeah. I mean, Park obviously does everything first class, and that is a first class range mat, as in lieu of a better phrase back there. It's gorgeous. The turf is very nice to hit off of, and we're very happy to have it. So if some of the other clubs have commented, they're going to get something similar.
You know, it did
some nice even stone trim around the whole thing. It looks really nice.
The logo turf Matt that we had the players start or finish at the Duster Challenge that Custom Turf did is awesome. Really cool. So if you're a business out there, you want something unique for it, or you want something for your employees, they can put your logo right in the green. It's really cool what they're able to do at Custom Turf. You can check them out online, customturf.com. Eastern Hills Mall, they have a display in there. And
I got an extra piece for my dog's little slot in the front of the
there
house.
There you go.
Too,
yeah,
too.
They yeah. do. Yeah, they do that too. Eh?
Yeah,
winter's coming
cool.
up, like pet stuff, but indoors. I'm looking in the indoor putting green. I've talked with Steve about it and showed me some ideas, and I'm like, yes. Are you kidding me? Yes.
Yep.
Who wants regular carpet? Like, get a putting green in there.
Oh,
in the basement.
It's going to be cool.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
I want to thank my sump pump for failing, too, for opening up that possibility for me. I wasn't,
yeah,
really
sure
good at that, but I'm like, well, if I'm not going to put just carpet back in, why don't I put a putting green in there?
That's so, right. The play is back underway at Quail Hollow. There are some players that have to finish up for round 2. Chris Stroud, amongst those that are under par, that are finishing up right now, he has 3 holes to go. He's at -5, in a three-way tie with Ustazen and Molinari. You've got Jason Day alone at third and minus six, and then Kisner and Matsuyama, who will make up the final pairing today when they reset it and go out for round number three at minus eight.
Did you see Jason Day, Dustin, did you see what Dustin Johnson did yesterday?
Yes, running up. I was just going to bring that up.
Really cool thing. And Jason Day, like, gave him a ton of credit because the darkness was falling. And
they knew the horn was coming.
The horn. They blow the horn. You can finish the hole. And they're like, oh, there's no way we're going to make it. So Dustin Johnson said, you know what? I'll finish out. I'll run up and hit a tee shot. That way our group is technically on the 18th hole. And Day was off the green. He had some more. So Johnson finished up quick, ran up the hill, hit a tee shot. So they were technically off. Like, who wants to come? I mean, for Jason, he did it for Jason Day, essentially.
Because Day is the chance to win.
Day is a chance to win, but like, do you want to get up early and come and finish?
One hole,
or do you want to go through regular prep
and
all that
stuff?
Well,
I'm sure it helped him, too, because he didn't want to get up and play one hole either.
Sure, but I mean.
By the way, they all played 18 in almost pitch black, and they played it great.
Yeah, that's
Johnson
a tough hole.
Johnson had a great look at birdie, as did Day. But, no, I think, look at this, the courtesy there. Dustin Johnson, who is not at all not in the tournament, he's at plus two. He's in 29th, so I mean, but he's 10 back. But Day is in third, right there. And was Koepka with him? Or no, Koepka might have been with Spieth's group.
Koepka was with
Spieth's group, but Stenson was with that group. That's right. But I mean, to do that, we saw that they were on the other nine too. The teams that the groupings that were finishing on nine, Rod Pampling, they were showing that came up. He was missing the cut. He knew he was missing the cut. He ran up, and I think he heard the horn and, like, essentially put the ball down and swung.
Yeah.
And he snap-hooked it, like, 50 yards, and they were saying how CBS actually had TrackMan on it because they was recording at that point. So
I saw that video,
Did you see that?
Yeah.
But they were saying, like, that Pampling did a favor to his playing partners, too. And
sure.
I think that they were maybe – his whole group might have been missing the cut, but –
yeah,
you're going to miss the cut. You want to wake up at 6 in the morning to come back to play one hole, realizing you're not going to make the weekend anyway.
Right.
So they were giving Pampling some
get
love
out of
for
town
that
night, save a night hotel.
They're running down the fairway, though, on that.
Which, right.
But the rule is, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, right, as soon as a ball is in play.
Yeah, and the PGA Tour's rule may be a little different than ours. But you know, and then the case is all the players must want to do that, too, because if Jason Day didn't want to play that last hole in darkness, then he could have held the whole group up. You know, he could say, he can claim, hey, I'm done.
Right. He wanted to.
Yeah,
There's no question he wanted to.
So
that 18th hole, I've played that course. I played Quail Hollow before they made some revisions. But 18, that tee shot is so difficult. It doesn't, you know, you're like, what's so hard about it? You've got that little creek going up the left side. You've got the trees on the right. That is such a hard tee shot, and the approach shot is no piece of cake either because it wraps all the way around that green. That's a hard finishing hole. Those final three holes are so difficult, 16, 17, 18. I mean, at 17, you stand on the tee box, and you're just looking. It's not quite like 17 at TPC Sawgrass because, you know, it's a peninsula. It's not an island green. But it's just like it begs to, all right, hit this off the hill on the right. Don't even flirt with the left side of the green.
Yep.
Just hit it towards the hill on the right. They take three every day of the week there.
All right, here's a question for you. I'm forcing you to put your mortgage on the line here. Are you betting it on Matsuyama or Day?
Oh, I would take Matsuyama.
He's got a two shot edge that helps, but
if you made me bet your mortgage, I would put it on Matsy.
Yours.
Oh, you said your mortgage. Oh, mine.
Yes. Yorgage?
Whatever.
No. Well,
your money would be on Matsuyama or Day if I made you pick one.
Today it would be on Matsuyama.
He's hot. Yeah, he's the hotter of the two players. He's been showing more form lately. Day's rounding into form though. Yeah. He's rounding into form and coming
the
back.
The putter was on fire yesterday for Day. Now, Matsuyama didn't need his putter to be on fire. Every one of his approaches was like 8 feet or less.
Yeah.
I mean,
still got to make them.
He was making them, no doubt. But I think they said the longest putt he made was like just 8.5 feet, like, which means he's locked in on his approaches. Day, on the other hand, was making some longer putts. So we'll have to see how that carries
I would
through.
Like to see Ustazen have a great weekend. He has been, you know.
He did win an Open at St. Andrews in 2010. He is a major champion.
Right.
He's been around quite a bit, too.
He's got a great golf swing. He really does. I mean, you look at Ustazen's swing technically.
Like, they said it's one of the, Mine, if his putter is on, it's which it is, then he's doing what he's doing. He's in contention to win. But they said that's usually his struggle, is that the rest of his game is usually very good.
Well, he's got back issues, too.
That's right.
So,
a couple of other names I'll throw at you here. Just jump in with thoughts here. Fowler, -3. He'll go to the weekend, 5 back.
It's my pick. Here's my pick.
Yep.
He's won on that golf course. You know, we're talking about stories that'll be great for golf. You know, Sergio getting a major. I think Fowler needs to get one. We can't keep talking about him being part of that group. He needs to get a major.
It'd be fun.
Justin Thomas shot 5-under yesterday. He's tied with Fowler, -3.
He'll win a major at some point with just, you know, how far he hits the golf ball and play at that hot start to the year.
Saturday round at the Open was still one of the cooler, cooler things I've seen this year.
Yep. Koepka is -1. He's in 11th. Normally, you'd think you're fine with 2 rounds to go, but you're 7 back of the hottest player in the world right now, in Matsuyama.
Well, it's not insurmountable.
Correct.
You know, he's got to take advantage of holes like 14, 15.
And what's the hardest thing to do is you shoot 61. What's the next day? Hardest round.
Yeah,
it's the hardest round to play. So on a Saturday at the PGA Championship, if things go a little, he could back up. I can see him shooting over par today.
Two players that are at +2. McIlroy and DJ are both at +2. That puts him 10 back.
Got to light it up early today and get out early, post a score, and hope to.
McIlroy doesn't putt well.
McIlroy was the favorite coming in. His success at this course has been tremendous. He won that one year
twice.
He won that one year by like 7 or something.
Did
like
we
that.
Talk about the TrackMan thing with him on the show? Or was
that? Why don't you mention what that was?
Oh,
yeah, mention that.
Gosh, we were watching in the shop the other day, and they were showing Rory McIlroy on the driving range, ripping 3-woods with the TrackMan track on it. Carrying them 315, 320, 325. They're just launching these 3-woods, 320-something yards in the air with a 3-wood. And he plunks down a driver, and it's 350, just in the air. And every shot's a bullet. I mean, it's just physically impressive. You know, one of the coolest things I've seen in person is standing next to him while he's ripping drivers. I mean, he is a phenomenal driver of the golf ball. Such a little guy, too, to hit it so far.
The tee ball he hit at the Travelers Championship on the 4th hole. It was slightly downwind, but he carried it. It's a dog leg left to right. The fairway bunker on the right, you know, the players try to put it just short of that normally. And he hit it so high, so he carried the tree that was past the bunker, caught the downslope of the fairway. I mean, it was a 360-yard carry just to get to that downslope. Rolled out. Jane Crafter, who was working for PGA Tour Live, I was working for PGA Tour Radio, we both walked it off with our yardage books, and we both had it at 403. ShotLink had it at 393. I'm like, all right, whatever, within 10 yards.
I remember when
crushed it.
I remember when hitting it 280 was a big deal.
Yeah.
But now it's, everybody carries it more
That's
than
right. that. I'm sorry, Brian, but carry distance
is the most important.
It's the most important number.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, guys will say, I hit 300 yards. I'm like, really? Your carry distance is what it's at. And, the average tour pro, their carry distance is 260 to 280. It's in that range.
I want to say
carry
it's
distance.
I think it's higher.
Average
carry
guy.
Distance. I think it's going to be around 285. If you average the club head speed out, I can carry it 265, and if I smoke it, and I'm not anywhere near where they are.
What's your release distance on that?
It depends on the
sure.
So yeah, that's
what I'm saying. Carry distance.
If it's wet, it's nothing. If it's dry, I can go a long ways.
Because if you look at average, you look at the tour leaders in driving, Kokrak's up there, right? You look at
they're carrying a 315, 325.
Well, no, but their average distance is like 308, 309. So that's with some release. You know, and the way they calculate that, by the way, it's not every hole.
Right.
They have 2 holes in the golf course that they track man it, and that's what they take the average from. Yeah. So
one downwind, one into the wind.
Right. Yes. Yep. That's how they do it.
Before we go to break here, let's get in our Champions Tour report. It's brought to you by Absolute Care and Orchard Brook Affordable Adult Assisted Living. No Champions Tour event this week because of the PGA Championship, but there are some Champions Tour players that are participating this week, and we might as well go right to John Daly, the former PGA champion.
JD.
Had a very good first day. Was actually even through 17 holes on his first round.
Oh, sounds like a John Daly story.
And then took a triple to get to plus three. Then Daly yesterday shot eight over, so he's plus 11 and will not play to the weekend. But he still draws the crowds. People still want to see him play. And, you know, of the Champions Tour players, we know we mention Bernhard Langer every week. We mention some of the other players that are doing so well. Daly, though, still has to be one of their biggest draws.
I would imagine. It's kind of funny not to because we had Dudley Hart at the club yesterday, yeah. PGA Tour player, and one of the juniors came up and asked him about John Daly, and he said, there's no finer guy. He goes, nobody you'd want more as a friend than that guy. He spoke highly of him. So, you know, I root for John Daly. You know, he's had some demons and stuff, but he is a draw. He is fun to watch. And like you say, that's John Daly, typical John Daly, coming to 17 even par and making a triple, you know. So, he'll also make an eagle that way, too. So he's fun to watch, and he's been playing a little bit better this year, so it's good to see.
Another player that also finished plus 11, Davis Love III, who we know plays both tours back and forth, but involved with the last PGA winning Ryder Cup team as captain. So
DL3.
He's got that going for him.
Talking about ball striking. There you go.
No doubt. So there's, we should mention Vijay Singh. He held out to make the cut. So that's a Champions Tour player that will be
still probably hitting.
Vijay's, he's plus three. Shot a one under par. So he's 44th. So Singh makes it through.
He's probably working hard on the range as we speak.
Those cross-handed chips amaze me.
How he does it?
Yeah.
They just find a way to shoot numbers. That's all. If they can't do it this way, they'll do it another way. They'll just find a way to score.
Wouldn't want to be his caddy, though.
That's right.
That's a long day.
Champions Tour Report brought to you by Absolute Care and Orchard Brook, affordable adult assisted living. When we come back, we'll get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, and Tim Freeze will join us live in about 8 minutes or so from Quail Hollow. We'll get his take on what he has seen this week at the PGA Championship. We're live at the Western New York PGA Cabin here at Fox Valley. Club Championship weekend here as well at Fox Valley Club. And we roll on with more Tee to Green. Hope you're enjoying the show today here on WGR with Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Midas. I'm Brian Colziel. Back with more in a moment here on WGR.
Been swinging well. Been making some good putts, making good strokes on the green. So everything's good. Hopefully the rain will stay away. I'd like to see this golf course stay the way it is or potentially firm up a little bit more. And just becomes a bit more of a fine line out there. And you can't miss your lines by much. And you have to hit your numbers going to the green. So I think it just separates the field a bit more. And that's a good thing in a major.
All right, that is Ricky Fowler talking about his round yesterday. He wanted it to stay firm. Well, guess what? The afternoon group got the rain delay and then easier scoring conditions. Easy to say, Ricky Fowler had to play in the morning. He didn't get those ripe scoring conditions. So he's five back, minus three. Matsuyama and Kisner are your leaders at minus eight at the PGA Championship. We welcome you back to Fox Valley. We're at the Western New York PGA Cabin. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Midas. As you also heard there before the Fowler soundbite, it is time now for our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. But before we get that in there, Kev, you surprised? Fowler says he wants it to be tough, firm, fast. He says he feels like he's separated. He probably was quite mad yesterday that those players got he was in third, and all of a sudden he fell down a little because all those players had those soft conditions to go at pins.
Well, you know, the reason why I think he wants it that way, particularly the greens, because he is one of the best short putters out there. He puts great pace on it right to the heart of the cup. Doesn't really mess around with, I'm going to go to the edge here and just have it die. No, that's not Ricky Fowler's game. He's very good. I mean, watch how quickly he gets up there on those five-footers, you know, four-footers, those ones that they're white knucklers, you know, for all of us out here. The guys playing the club championship this weekend at Fox Valley, those are the ones.
It's part of his routine, though.
Grip over, yeah.
Yep. You don't change it because you're in a major. You do what you always do. And good players want difficult conditions because they want to separate themselves from the not-so-good players, and that's where you have your opportunity.
Yep, absolutely. All right, our tip of the week here, and then Tim Freeze live at Quail Hollow for an update on his perspective for the PGA Championship. It's brought to you by the Western New York PGA. Growing a giving game, and it's Club Championship week here at Fox Valley. And if you haven't played this course, one thing you would note upon coming here for the first time is that there are, I would say, an above average amount of dogleg holes here at Fox Valley. So let's talk about the approach to playing a hole with a dogleg, Jeff Midas. How about just even just the first shot there off the tee? You're playing a dogleg, regardless of which way it goes. What's your mental approach there?
Well, what I would tell people is play your shot. So if, say you're a fader of the golf ball. The ball curves left to right for you. Well, you'd think you'd have an advantage a little bit on some dogleg rights. So you can curve that ball a little bit around the corner. What you need to do, though, is pick a good target. Like what people tend to do on those doglegs is they focus on curving the ball to the right to work it around the corner, and they end up short-siding themselves on the right of the hole too much. So what you want to do is find a conservative target out there at the corner of the dogleg, maybe a little left of center on a right dogleg, and hit your normal shot out there, but focusing on that target, not focusing on the fact that the hole goes to the right. If you're a drawer of the golf ball, don't try to cut the corner. Just play your shot or play less club. Don't try to hit a shot that you're not comfortable with on the dogleg. If you're a drawer of the golf ball and you got a left to right hole, that's you just have to take your medicine on that hole. Maybe you'll be a little bit further away from the green than the guy who hits the fade, but you don't want to try to hit a fade when you're not comfortable hitting a fade in that situation. That'll often lead to, that's where you start making the big numbers or hitting shots you're not comfortable with. Same thing around the greens. You know, if the pin's on the left, what you don't want to do is miss it on the left. We call that being short-sided. So if you're a drawer of the golf ball, that's, you know, if the pin's on the left, you can pick a spot right in the center of the green and hit your normal shot. If it goes straight, great. You're in the center of the green. You got a 10-footer. If it draws, perfect. It's working to the hole. If you're a fader, you know, that left pin, maybe you want to aim at the pin or maybe a little bit right. And just understand that you may have a little bit longer putt into that situation. What you don't want to do is miss it left and leave yourself short-sided with a difficult shot. It's how good players will plot themselves around a golf course and the value of par. You know, sometimes it's just good to make a par on some of these holes that may not fit your eye. So if a hole doesn't fit your eye, find a conservative target, make a cocky swing, and accept that you may have 10 or 15 yards longer than your fellow competitors. Don't always try to squeeze the most out of that dogleg.
Yeah, I think one thing with a dogleg, I'm very guilty of sometimes too, but I know that I've played with players like this, that every time there's a dogleg, it is the, how can I maximize cutting it around the corner or right, going over Kev? And at Fox here, you have that decision sometimes, but I agree with Jeff. Probably taking a little less of the, or taking a little more of the conservative approach. Sometimes the shot fits it great, and okay, right, go for it. But I think that, oh, how far can I cut the corner here? And then you get yourself in trouble.
Well, we were talking about the fifth hole earlier here, the par five, the dogleg right. It's a sharp dogleg, almost a right angle, if you will. And you were talking about Danny Wymer, your former player, and how he
that's a different story. He just blasted
right, over, but he blasted over the trees. And it is extremely risky, in my opinion. But if you catch it, you put yourself with a wedge in your hand or short iron if you can carry the trees on the far side and catch the downslope. The way the straight way to play it, if you will, you can try to cut the corner, but you really have to catch it with that fade. And even then, you're kind of on the hill. It's not, to me, it's not a great advantage because of the stance with it. So most of us play it straight out to the tree with a hybrid, or dependent, there's usually a little breeze in your face, with a 3-wood, and you know, just put it straight out there towards a tree, short of the trap, and then play another shot up the fairway. So it's, you know, you could hit driver, but you put yourself in a bad spot if you don't cut the corner the way you need to. So it's part about, hey, knowing what you're able to hit and sometimes playing positional golf.
Plot yourself around it. You know, I worked at a pool hall as a kid, and you always were thinking about your next shot. So same thing on a dog. Like, hey, where's my next shot going to be from? You don't have to squeeze it over the corner every time. You don't have to be a hero. Just give yourself a good approach. You're better off hitting the green. And, you know, it's important to hit the greens to have a birdie putt. So get that ball in play first.
I think that, too, the immediate thought for me sometimes is always, how can I maximize the distance? And that always necessarily doesn't make the next shot the best one. Kevin, you just said it going over.
Well, on the dog legs, it may not.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Hey, if I cut it over here, I'll only have 100 in. Mm-hmm. Instead, well, you're right. It might be a downslope. It might be in the rough. Right. It might be where. And I know some, you know, maximizing your distance in, usually I know the stats say the closer you are, the better you're going to score.
Right.
But sometimes, though, the risk that it puts you involved in terms of, well, if I also miss it 10 more feet this way, it could go OB or something like that. A lot of times it's not worth it. So I think just that decision-making overall is something that, even on a non-dogleg hole, I think is smart about thinking about the next shot and, well, my lie would be better here, my angle to the pin here would be better.
Plan your work and work your plan. Know what you're going to do before you get to that tee, and then just stick to it.
Absolutely. It's our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week brought to you by the Western New York PGA, growing a given game. Anything that you want to know about starting the game, growing the game, if you've got a son or a daughter that you want to get involved, or no matter what age you are, what gender you are, no matter where you come from, if you want to get going in golf, you can get started by checking it all out at WNYPGA.com. You can also contact Steve Bartkowski, who we spoke with in hour number one here at the Western New York PGA Cabin, and his information, again, on that website, WNYPGA.com.
You know, I love the fact you mentioned plan. Mm-hmm. So I recently played an invitational at Orchard Park. I play with my buddy every year, and we play a practice round, and we chart out a plan. Actually, be like, wow, you guys play well. Well, we actually have a plan to work as a team here. Hey, if the tee's up here, I'm going to hit an iron off the tee, you know, in some of the holes. If it's back, you know, then we'll hit a metal. You know, order of play on certain holes. We'll change that up. You know, may sound like you're overthinking it, but it is a competition. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to play well and compete in the competition, and we go with that plan. I'll jot the plan down, you know, in the notes section of my phone. I'll go back to, all right, what do I do on this hole? I try to stick with that plan because you, the emotion of a match, you get into those things, so you're getting around, and maybe you don't have a good hole, and you start to deviate from the plan, and that's when things go awry.
And plans help you stay target-focused, all right, as opposed to results focus. You help to stay in the process throughout the course of your round. If you start thinking of the outcome, or if I do this, I can make birdie. Well, the process is to hit it here and then give yourself a chance to make a birdie. So I like planning, you know, especially in tournament rounds, planning how you're going to go around the golf course, where you're going to hit driver, where you're going to try to just get it in the fairway with an iron, whatever it is. And that way, when you're on the tee, as opposed to thinking of the results or what happened on the previous hole, say you made a double, you hit a bad hole, you're immediately focused on, hey, what am I going to do to play this hole and get the best chance I can to make a good score on this hole. And if you just continually do that throughout the course of the round, you focus on the process, I think the results follow.
Hey, you know, you hear the pros talk about it all the time. Well, we have a plan. You know, we, the caddy,
there's a we
know,
thing, always. Coach, yep.
There's a we thing. They have a plan. They have a game plan, just like, you know,
a business plan, yeah.
A business plan. You know, Sean McDermott's got a game plan for the Jets game, probably is already working on it already. Cares about the Eagles game this week. It's preseason. Right. You know, Jordan Matthews and LeSean McCoy probably care.
Yeah.
By the way, don't play McCoy this week. Anyhow, you know, they have a game plan. You go into every game with a plan. And, Brian, I'm sure you talk about it with your tennis players.
Yep.
You know, I say, hey, here's your plan today. You know?
Like if you got a guy who's got a weak backhand, you're going to keep firing at his backhand, right?
And it works well with the think about your next shot while you're hitting this shot of, hey, you know, I'd like to go for the winner here, but, hey, if I can go corner, then the next shot even becomes even easier. Or that sort of thing, you know, that sort of mentality.
And not to belabor the point, but, you know, having a plan also allows you to focus on the strengths of your game. If you're a good wedge player, hey, you can work your plan around the golf course to hit more wedges. Or if you're a long driver of the golf ball, you can have a plan that'll maximize how far you hit the golf ball. And all those things help you maximize your chances to score well.
Speaking of plan, Kevin Kisner, who's tied for the lead, had said that he has to stick with his plan this week. He said that on average he would describe himself as an aggressive player. But he's essentially tried to go the other way this week, and Kisner said he really went through this plan. He even talked about it, he said, with his son. They went through the holes, leading the field in greens in regulation. He's hit 30 of 36 greens in regulation. He has hit a couple of drives over 300, but in general he's not a longer hitter. He thought, oh my God, if this course gets soft, it's playing over 7,600 yards, what am I going to do? But he said, I'm quoting Kisner here. We talked about it. He said, there's holds where I need to hit away from the flag. Then there's holes where I feel like I need to go at the flag. And he said, those are the holes that I've made birdie on, the ones that I can go at the flag. And he says, pick your birdie holes, pick your par holes, pick holes that maybe he knows double could come into play and make sure that that never happens. And he says, in years past, I probably would have went the other way and I wouldn't be in the spot that I'm in right now. He says, I think it's maturity. He said, for me, he goes, sometimes I just have to, you know, kind of something to take away that stubbornness that he has in there. But he said, I've been really upset with how I've played in majors, considering I've had a really last too good to my career. But he says, I think coming in with a plan has worked really well. I hope it continues through to the
and
league.
Having the discipline to stick with it. Right? Yeah, because all of a sudden you're playing well, and I might as well try to bomb it in here. Yeah, I'm going to stuff this
right
in here. I'm feeling it good. But to have the discipline to stick with your plan.
And the 14th hole is a great example of that. Drivable par four, but you'll see a lot of guys, you know, be short of that green.
Take out the big number.
Yep. Take the
water. McIlroy tried to drive it and went in the water. And then he went on a he doubled there, bogeyed the next hole, and instead of being a plus two, maybe he's in red figures right now, and we're talking about him some more.
Yeah.
All right, time out here, and we hope we can catch up with Tim Freeze at Quail Hollow. We know he has some media duties in the media room, so we're hoping we'll get a chance to join him before
I'll
we're done at
him.
9 o'clock. Get on him.
Jeez,
that's right.
Freezer.
Get him out of there working the
Typical
PGA Championship.
Freezer.
Big time, us here. All right, time out from Fox Valley here. We're at the Western York PGA Cabin. One final segment here as we roll on at Tee to Green with Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. I'm Brian Colesiel. Thanks for listening here. Hope you're having a good start to your weekend here on WGR.
I'm really fired up by the way I'm hitting the golf ball. I hadn't hit it this well this whole summer. A lot of average finishes. So when I start hitting it the way I am now, I play well. So I'm looking forward to the weekend and having an opportunity to keep making birdies and playing well.
That is co-leader Kevin Kisner. His thoughts after yesterday's round of the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow in Charlotte. He and Hideki Matsuyama are your co-leaders at 8 under par. Jason Day, 2 back at minus 6, and then a handful at minus 5, including Chris Stroud, who's still on the course. We'll give you an update on the leaderboard before we leave you here on Tee to Green at the top of the hour. Actually, Stroud has now gotten to 6 under. He just birdied, so he is with Jason Day at 6 under. Ustazen and Molinari are at minus 5.
Francesco.
And Fowler, Casey, Justin Thomas at minus
that
3.
That is a fun name to say.
Francesco Molinari.
Francesco Molinari. That's right. That's right. We are in communication with Tim Freeze. He's still in his media room obligations.
Yeah,
so
he's chatting someone up.
Doug Ferguson from the AP's probably got him.
I don't know if we're going to get him, but we're trying here. Anyway, good news. We want to announce our Mick Ultra contest winners to play with Kevin and I. Originally, we had the plan that one was going to play with Kevin, one was going to play with me, but we actually were challenged.
Yes.
And it was said in quite a good way, Kevin, but we want to announce congratulations to these two winners. Nate Leary and Mike Venditti are winners of the Mick Ultra Golf Challenge. They challenged us. So Nate and Mike are going to play Kevin and I.
Yes, and we're playing this week, boys, so saddle up.
That's right.
And it's 6 holes of best ball, 6 holes of shamble, 6 holes of alternate shot. Separate the men from the boys. They're
alternate great, shot is pressure.
They're getting a great prize pack from Michelob Ultra, and Brian will be in touch to set all that up.
Right. So
we're playing this week.
We're playing this week.
Be ready, boys.
That's right. So congratulations.
Brian, be ready. We can't lose to these
Nate
guys.
Nate and Mike. That's right.
We're getting strokes, too.
That's all right. Well, awesome. We saw them. I think we saw some of them at the Duster.
By the way, I can't believe you didn't select the guy from Lockport who suggested that you'd be his partner. He didn't have you to the Invitational if you beat us, but maybe that's because you're not confident that you could have beat me with somebody else. But anyways, let's bring Tim Freeze in.
That's right. Tim Freeze, PGA Pro here from Transit Valley down at the PGA Championship, is now joining us live on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
You're busy at work already today in the media room, right?
Couldn't pull away from the buffet, Freeze?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun coming out of the media room and just walking over to the first tee for another duty here. Just walking in between. I'm actually walking amongst the folks and just having a great time, a lot of high fives and passing out these nice little chips we give to the junior league kids, and it's a lot of fun. It's quite a Super Bowl rock show going on. Absolutely,
that is cool. So Tim, I know you've had some announcing duties. We actually, I believe, on Thursday you had a little TV time. We saw you. So you're announcing at hole one and some at 18. You're introducing the players, right?
Yes, I've got number 9 today, which is obviously fun with a little delay from last night. Going to the afternoon, and then tomorrow, the 18th, that's a thrill. Obviously, being on that last hole for the last groups, I think I've got the last 2.5 hours. That's a lot of fun, and then you go right onto the green. But yesterday was quite a thrill. In fact, a little behind the scenes there was basically the TV is in one ear telling you, you know, we got to go in 40 seconds, but Jimmy Walker's looking at me going, I want to hit it right now. The rules official says he's going to hit it, and I'm telling him he can't hit it. The grin, the look I got, the grimace from Jimmy Walker, I don't think he likes me right now, but you tell him you got to hold on. I got 30 seconds. They're going to count down, and then you announce them to the tee, and then the rules official wouldn't talk to me for the next two groups because he says I kind of screwed with them, and very funny. It's the behind the scenes, so it is fun, but it is a little nerve-wracking at the same time.
Well, don't screw anybody up out there, Freezer. Man.
I know. He did hit a nice tee shot, but then he made bogey, and Jimmy Walker didn't play good, so it's my fault.
That's right. Yeah,
Tim Freeze,
like
PGA Pro from Transit Valley, joining us here. He's working hard at Quail Hollow this week. So, Tim, what are just some interesting run-ins you've had here along the way? I know you get to talk with quite a bit of people with the PGA and some players as well. You just mentioned the Walker thing. What other interesting run-ins have you had?
Well, it's interesting down in the locker room. They see it with the PGA badge, and Jeff knows we pretty much have to, you know, wear that around. Well, it could be any tour player thinks that you know the answers to his questions. So you're trying to find out about weather, trying to find out about delays. Their caddies. One of the caddies came up on the first tee and says, "You're out of bananas. Can you get me more bananas? Let me work on that for you." It's all the little tiny things you don't really think about. But one of his players actually had a sugar problem, so he had to have a banana. So we worked on that, and 1 minute, here comes a bunch of bananas for the guy. He loaded them up in his bag. Just those little things around that you hear. We get briefed every day. I tell you what, the security part of it, that element from FBI, NSA, there's a lot of people that for every officer you might see in a uniform, there's another 10 that are just plain clothes, men and women that are just making sure this all runs accordingly. They're a little worried right now at the, you know, for Paris, let's say. You got to make sure you nail the security on something like that. But you see that, and you get briefed on that each day. It's awesome. And so far, the weather's been hanging in there. So if we can just keep that going, tomorrow looks a little iffy, but every day looked iffy.
Freezer, I played that course. It's fabulous. What's your favorite hole there?
Oh, you know, this new par 3-4, if it was any drier, it'd be almost, you wouldn't find a hole location. But I tell you what, 18 coming down that hole, Kevin, you know, that's, I'm not, how are you going to squeeze it? It opens up, number one, 524, little dogleg to the right. I mean, that's longer than our par 5s at my golf course. It's awesome. It's a big golf course. And you see the scores, they're not, no one's lighting it up, although Matsuyama and Jason Day did a nice job when you get on a run, right?
No doubt. Who do you think right now is at their best that you would pick them to go on and win this weekend?
You know, Kevin Kisner's one confident kid. He's talking like he's seeing his lines and getting the speeds, and you see, you know, speed popping up after he hits putts because he just couldn't find the speeds here. So I got to think that Matsuyama hits it so good. El says it's one of the best ball strikers he's ever seen. And when you watch him and you hear it and meet, you know that compression sound. It's just right on the first tee. He's nailing it. So that kind of, if Matsuyama can keep that going, it could be a first major for him, although Jason Day's doing a nice job here.
Those tour players do make a different sound when they hit the golf ball. I mean, it's a lot different than even a good club pro. There's just a different sound of the compression when they hit the ball, isn't there, Tim?
Tell everyone out there, I'm telling you got to make a divot. These guys are making divots. Every ball that's on the ground, make a divot. They all do it. There's no picking out here.
Not very many, no.
Tim, it's been a big week for the PGA of America as they announced a big shift in the calendar with the major moving to May in 2019. With all the discussions you've had with the board of directors and all the big wigs of PGA of America, how have they taken the news this week? Are they happy with how it's being perceived?
I'm going to say, for those that didn't understand, that would be the 5% of them, 95% positive. Tour players and most of the European tour players like it. Some are like, it might affect us. I know there's an event that Byron Nelson say in May, but with all the moving parts, we've been working on this for a couple of years. This is all good to launch every program we've got the PGA in May following Augusta. The TV contract's not even settled yet, so whether CBS or NBC, Comcast, Golf Channel has the PGA Championship, that's going to be a big deal going forward with promotion, but it's all good in May. Imagine playing some of these golf courses that we haven't really seen in May and just better weather. It is, I'm telling you, I sweated through that jacket yesterday, you know, on Thursday on the tee, and we're going to Belrive in Missouri next year in August. It's going to be hot. So to give a little break there would be awful nice for tour players and the PGA and all our programs we're doing. Instead of at the end of the year, do it in May.
Yeah, we had mentioned last week from Oak Hill of, well, is there a concern that the northern courses might suffer in terms of the rotation? But there's 6 years in a row now there's been a weather delay in August, and that's probably more likely where you would get a delay with thunderstorms and things like that, that you have storms rolling through. You're not going to get that in May likely in a lot of locations.
You know, Brian, we got meteorological reports basically over the last couple of years to try to make a decision, and it appears as though even in Buffalo, we've gone up 6 degrees in the last 20 years. So what that does is it says we can start, you know, preparing weeks in advance that we thought we couldn't. So trying to set up grandstands in February at Oak Hill might not work. But if it gets warmer, we've had milder winters, I think Oak Hill will work. Bethpage, obviously, in 2019 will work because it's a little more milder. But I got to think the Hazeltines and the Whistling Straits, they're a little iffy and if that could work or not. But again, you open up different parts of the country people haven't seen, the Texas, Arizonas, Florida. So that could be a neat thing for fans to watch and enjoy for the PGA as well.
Absolutely. Tim Fries from Transit Valley, Western New York PGA Pro, who is a part of our show normally with us here all the time. One more, Jeff, here before we leave.
Are you playing in the section championship? Will you be back in time?
I've got a direct flight Sunday night. Got to be there, meet and see you on that first tee at 9:20 Monday morning. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. I will practice zero, so I've got no expectations. You bet. Just swing hard in case you hit it.
All right, good. That's right. Good luck, Freezer.
That's right.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, enjoy the weekend. Looking forward to, to hearing
much.
How
Brian,
it goes.
Kevin. Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the quick phone call and enjoy the PGA. Thank you.
All right, you too. Tim Fries, Western New York PGA Pro from Transit Valley, down working hard at Quail Hollow. Before we go here, we got a minute left. Let's get our official picks in that people can take to the bank. Kevin, who's raising the Wanamaker Trophy Sunday night?
Well, I picked Fowler.
You sticking with it?
Well, you got to stick with your pick,
I
right?
I think you do.
He's three under. I'm still going with Fowler, right. Although I think Matsuyama will win.
Yeah, I think Matsuyama. I think Matsuyama wins.
Okay. I think Jason Day's putter is hot, so I'm going to go with him. I picked McIlroy, and I'm going to change that pick. So
everybody picked McIlroy.
That's
everybody
true. Everybody. McIlroy. It was too easy.
I think I picked Spieth actually, but
all right. Everybody but Jeff picked McIlroy, and me. I picked Fowler.
That's right.
I picked Fowler 2 months ago, if you recall.
All right.
The show
is if it's a different name here, I'm going to say Justin Thomas.
All right.
You said he's going to win a major. Maybe
he'll win a major
at
some
right.
point.
This could be it this week. All right. We want to thank everybody here at Fox Valley. And everybody with the Western PGA, Steve Barkowski, for joining us in hour number one. If you missed any of the show, we will have it up. Well, we already have hour number one up. Hour number two will be up very shortly, courtesy of Derek Kramer back in our studio at WGR550.com in our on-demand audio section. I'll also tweet it out at Brian WGR. And next week, we'll be back our normal time, 7 to 8 a.m. here. Hope you enjoyed the extra hour this week with the PGA Championship coverage. And for Kevin Sylvester, Kevin, have a good weekend.
You too, buddy.
All right. PGA
hey,
Pro,
glad I'd rather be playing with you than against you. So
that's right. Now
teamwork. Boom.
Nate, Mike, going down.
Guys are going down.
That's
no
right.
question.
Like
that's
a
right.
bad habit.
Jeff Mitis, have a great weekend.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right. And for all the listeners out there, thank you for listening. I'm Brian Colziel. T to Green. You can check out our website as well. T2GreenRadio.com. And we'll talk to you next week here on T to Green on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.